We're thankful for the presence of everyone that is here this morning. As Alan mentioned, we have a large number that are away, a few that are sick, so we're very thankful that you are well and able to be out with us. We've been talking in this series of lessons about the remnant. And by way of review, we've mentioned that the remnant is a term that is used by the Old Testament prophets to describe God's true spiritual people. There is a larger sense in which the children of Israel as a nation was God's chosen people. But he recognized that not all of them were really anything more than physical Israelites descended from Abraham. And so the remnant describes that group of people among those who were truly striving to be God's people. They were faithful to God when others around them were not. And that remnant was faithful to God when times were difficult, as well as when times were good. And so the prophets of God always announced what blessings would be conferred on those who were truly the remnant of God. And so we've looked so far in this series at the attributes of the remnant from several different perspectives. In this lesson, we want to look at it from the viewpoint of what this should mean to us. As Christians are the spiritual heritage of that remnant in today's world. We compose God's remnant today. So in doing that, I want to first read one of the great remnant passages in the Old Testament, one that people generally aren't as familiar with because it's in the prophet Zephaniah, which a very small book and often overlooked when compared to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. But Zephaniah has this to say in chapter 3 and verse 9. And by the way, Zephaniah writes to that physical remnant of Israel after they have returned to Jerusalem and Judea from the Babylonian and Persian captivities. So Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. For then I will give to the people purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, my dispersed ones will bring my offerings. In that day you will feel no shame because of your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst the proud, exalting ones. And you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their midst, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. So as Zephaniah is writing this to those who have physically returned from a period of captivity, he's writing to encourage them to continue to practice the lessons that they had learned in that captivity. And so what we want to do this morning is draw a few statements from this passage and try to apply that to us today as we strive to be God's remnant in today's world. And so Zephaniah makes a number of observations that I think are applicable to us. First of all, he tells them that the remnant is composed of those who call upon the name of the Lord, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. This establishes the identity of the remnant. They are a cleansed people. They are given purified lips, he says. And these lips call upon the name of the Lord. One of the reasons, primary reasons, for the captivity to begin with is that they had forsaken the worship of the Lord and had worshipped the idols of the nations all around them. And he says, you have been cleansed by that, and you can use your lips that have been purified now to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, oftentimes we look at the Jews from the standpoint of the way they are pictured for us in the Gospels and their interaction with Jesus. And they are a stubborn group of people who are bound by the traditions of their rabbis, by their teachers, and often do not see the spiritual implications of the teachings of Jesus. But to put that in perspective of what Zephaniah is saying here, they went into captivity because of their idolatry. And when they came out, those that remained, idolatry never was an issue again. This doesn't defend the Jews of Jesus' day for the things that were wrong in their society and in their religion. But the point of what Zephaniah is saying is that this captivity has cleansed you of one of your major problems. And the result of that is that now you are going to approach the Lord with a greater dedication. The application that I would make to us is just simply that the remnant in any age, but particularly the spiritual remnant of God in the 21st century, must be composed of those who call upon the name of the Lord. We're very familiar with Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, where he says, "It'll come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors, whom the Lord calls." So Joel looks to that time when God will call people to Him, and the response of the remnant is that they accept that call and call upon the Lord. The remnant responds to the call of God. The book of Acts connects these principles in the Old Testament prophets to our modern heritage as Christians. First of all, in Acts 2 and verse 16, the Apostle Peter says what was occurring on that day is exactly what Joel was prophesying in chapter 2, verse 28 to 32 of the book of Joel. He says, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." So we know that what occurred on the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so at the conclusion of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, the audience cry out for instruction. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter tells them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. But he gives this reason, Acts 2 and verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." So those who are receptive to God's call are told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. So there is this connection. God calls to the preaching of the gospel, but those who are willing to listen call upon the name of the Lord in their acceptance of the gospel. And the book of Acts confirms that. Acts 22 and verse 16, when Ananias gives instruction to the apostle Paul, Saul, who will become the apostle Paul, he says, "Why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." That response to the gospel of repentance and baptism is the calling upon the name of the Lord. So Zephaniah, Joel, and Peter, they all agree. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will receive salvation. And those who call upon the name of the Lord today are His spiritual remnant. But it's more than just that calling and acceptance of the call of God. Because what Zephaniah says in in his passage is that the remnant is composed of those who service the Lord. Zephaniah connects those who are willing to call upon the name of the Lord with those who are willing to actually serve him. And I would just suggest to you that that's kind of a very good test about religion in any day and any time. Any concept of calling upon the name of the Lord that does not include listening to God's call and subsequently serving him as your God cannot be a biblical concept. And so we understand that calling upon the name of the Lord is connected with the willingness to serve him. Salvation is the result of accepting God's gracious call, but salvation cannot be separated from service. You see that in Paul's words to the Romans in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where he says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so those two things are connected. One flows from the other. If we are willing to call upon the name of the Lord, we will have the desire to serve him. The third thing that Zephaniah says that I think is important for us to apply to ourselves is that the remnant is composed of those whose sins have been forgiven. Zephaniah connects the idea of forgiveness with the remnant in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. He says the true remnant feels no shame. That implies that they understand and accept the concept of forgiveness. He tells them, you can feel no shame because God has removed the ungodly from your midst. He has removed that which is not acceptable from your midst. They are a humble people. God's remnant is composed of those who have humbled themselves before God, who have accepted his forgiveness, and can feel the blessings of that forgiveness. That also is a theme that is repeated often in the prophets. In Micah's prophecy, in Micah chapter 7 and verse 16, he says, "Nations will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will put their hands on their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent, like reptiles of the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses. To the Lord our God they will come in dread, and they will be afraid before you. Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." So Micah affirms this twofold relationship. The remnant is composed of those who recognize the greatness of God, recognize particularly that he is a God who forgives sins. He is a God of compassion. And they experience that forgiveness and can experience the removal of the guilt of their sin because they are forgiven. Ezekiel says that God will give this remnant that he has forgiven a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 18. "When they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people, and I shall be their God. But as for those whose hearts go after the detestable things, God is not going to accept them." We look at this and we see Ezekiel, when he started his prophecy, he says these people are stubborn. He basically said they're as hard as flint. You can try to do something and just bounce off of them. They're that hard. But as he goes through his prophecy and comes to this point about the remnant, he says they're not going to be that way. God will give them a softer heart. They will have a heart that recognizes the blessed status of their relationship with their God. The fourth thing that we can get out of the Zephaniah passage is that the remnant is composed of those who trust in the name of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 12, Zephaniah says, "The remnant takes refuge in the name of the Lord." He describes them as a meek and a humble people. And that word meek is a unique word. It basically means submissiveness to God's control. They are now willing to recognize that God is in charge of their life. Their prior failure as a nation was trusting in themselves, trusting in other men, trusting in their wealth, and the result had been disastrous. And so he says this remnant now is a meek and humble people. They now recognize that they must trust God. Humble means they were simple. They were not pretentious. Zephaniah says, the proud and the arrogant have been removed. And you know, when we think about all the things that transpired around the captivities and so forth, and we talked about that just a little bit in the early sermon this morning, you take a prideful and arrogant people, and you lead them into captivity, put hooks through their lips, and lead them like animals, and you take them from their homeland after you've razed their cities and burnt them with fire, and you basically make them servants, where you might have been a prince, but now you're just a worker. That the impact that would have. And they come back from captivity, and one of their leaders in captivity is Zerubbabel, a great grandson of one of the great kings of Judah. But he's just a servant. Now he's a God's servant, a servant leader of his people. And so what Zephaniah says is the characteristics of these people are different now. And one of the things they recognize is they are dependent upon God for providing for them the things that they now have. I believe that, and we're not going to read them for sake of time, but when I read what Zephaniah says about these things, my thoughts immediately went to Jesus' Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. When he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are..." You think about those, how many of those have to do with the humble, meek attitude that Jesus says will characterize his servants. And so this remnant after the fiery test of the captivity, that pride and that arrogance is taken from them, and they are now a people that are willing to humble themselves before God. And God's remnant are always characterized by that trait. And then finally, Zephaniah says that this remnant will live righteously. He says in Zephaniah 3 and verse 13, "They'll do no wrong, they'll tell no lies. What they say, what they do." And you think, what a great summary that is. When you think about, at least when I think about the failings in my life, that pretty well characterizes it. When I don't keep my mouth shut when I should, the things that I say that I shouldn't, the things that I do that I shouldn't. He says these people will focus their lives differently. We've been studying the book of Amos in the early studies. We haven't gotten to this passage yet, but Amos expresses the very same thought. Amos 5, Verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live, and thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you. Just as you have said, hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gates, and perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So, as we mentioned in the early sermon, Amos doesn't call those people to repentance. He says, it's too late. God tried to get you to repent. You wouldn't. Judgment is coming. And so, he says in this passage, you better learn this lesson in your captivity, because you need to learn these values, and then maybe God will be gracious to those of you who return from this captivity. Peter, among other New Testament writers, exhorts us with similar words about our righteous living. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, Peter says we need to live righteously. Jeremiah says that God will shepherd that remnant who tries to live righteously. Jeremiah 23 and verse 3, then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to the pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I raise up for the David a righteous branch, and he will reign as a king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And so he says of the remnant, I will give them the shepherd. And he will guide them in this way of living. And as we close, we recognize that each of the descriptions that we have talked about this morning is applicable to New Testament Christians. I believe the Hebrew letter kind of sums that up. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all times, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, their mind I will write them. And he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. See the similarity to what the Hebrew writer says to the various passages that we have read this morning from the various prophets of the Old Testament. So just as the prophetic remnant in the Old Testament was composed of those of Israel who shared a special relationship with the Lord, characterized by the things which we have talked about this morning, New Testament Christians are designed to be such a people in this age. And so these are the qualities that we should attempt to demonstrate and develop in our own spiritual lives. And then we would truly be the remnant of God. to get your songbooks out. I thank you for your attention. Obviously, we want to encourage people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to encourage people to try to live as God's remnant people in a world that is generally lost in sin. If there's any in the audience this morning that has any spiritual need that we can help you with, including if you've never become a Christian, helping you to obey the gospel this morning by confessing the name of Christ and being baptized in His name, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.